The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So what I was hoping to talk about today was the importance of intention in practice. And intention in Buddhism is a very key topic to understand and explore. And one of the ways to distinguish intention from desire is that desire is that intention is why we have desire. Or if you ask the question, why do you desire what you want? So desire is really central to human life, maybe all life. And it's unreasonable to expect to live a life without desire. But the question is, for what purpose do we have desire? What's the purpose? What's the motivation? What's the intention behind our desires? And so whenever you want something, you can ask the question, what's the purpose I'm trying to accomplish with this desire? There are what I like to call surface purposes, and then there are purposes that come out of the depth of our being, the depth of who we are, the depth of our psychology, our mind, our hearts. So, for example, there's lots of desires in human beings that are related to reproduction, usually called sex. Sexual desire is a huge part of human life. Different periods of people's lives, it's more or less important. There's desires for comfort or to avoid discomfort. There's desire for variety of desires having to do with being in relationship to people. Some of them have to do with sex. Some of them have to do with status. Some of them have to do with approval. There's a lot of kind of desires that go into what people want to do. And to question our desire, to look at our desire and ask ourselves, is the purpose we're trying to accomplish through this desire, does it speak to my deepest wish, my deepest aspiration, the depth of who I am? And that's a very interesting topic and question. So, for example, I learned very early in my life that the desire for the kind of intimacy that can come from a sexual relationship, I had to do that. Because sometimes the sexual was kind of surface relationship, and it actually didn't go very deep, and it was rather unsatisfying. And there was something very different when the primary motivation in the relationship was not pleasure, but rather was a real deep heart-to-heart intimacy. And then I learned that that deep intimacy doesn't require sex. So that's interesting. So what is it that drives what we want? So that's that question. Why do I want this? What's the underlying intention, underlying purpose or aspiration underneath it? When we look at desire, the word desire, there can be two primary categories of things which fuel our desire, feed our desires. On one hand, there can be the whole category of things called greed. Where there's clinging and grasping as part of it, where there's ego as part of it, kind of self-image as being building it up as part of it. On the other hand, there can be aspiration or intention. And aspiration, I think, in my vocabulary, aspiration has to do with qualities of the depth of our hearts that don't have to do with the instinct level of our life, the surface level of how we often tend to operate. And so part of what we do in Buddhist practice is to look at our desire and ask the question, and there has to be some exploration, what are the underlying intention that's driving or motivating what I want in my life? And am I being motivated by the desires that really, the intentions that really I want to stand behind, the deeper values of my life? So, for example, It was kind of like a little bit of a kind of funny, I think, for some of us, that here was we came to a Buddhist center to do something like Buddhist practice or mindfulness practice, wake up, get liberated, be free, reinforce our best values. Perhaps you succeeded somewhat well to do that in meditation session, at least you're trying to. And then you were looking forward to a talk that was going to support that. But then in that wonderful gap where the speaker wasn't working and you're wondering what's going on here, did some of you get impatient? Did some of you lose the underlying intention of being present, of mindful, being compassionate, being grateful, being free, being at ease with what is? Or, it's kind of pretty easy to get kind of anxious and kind of like, oh, let's get on with this. Maybe I shouldn't stay. Maybe I should leave now because it's going to get more difficult. So there was a kind of very easy in certain situations to lose a deeper value, a deeper sense of purpose that could have easily been accomplished in those few minutes, but we get distracted, we get lost by it. Other things come into play. Another thing that happens here, what happened here this morning, is what often happens on Sunday morning, people will come in during the sitting. And they come in, the door is loud, they walk across the floor a little bit loud, they come in here and they sit down and you hear them breathing next to you for a while until they get settled. And we're set up here, because we're an urban center, to allow that to happen. Because we realize that it's difficult in the urban life with work and family and obligations to always follow a kind of strict schedule, show up on time. And we want to have kind of a relaxed attitude about it, trusting that people are doing the best to come on time. So people come in. So what intention operates for you when you hear someone coming in late? So, so you look at your thoughts and reactions and you question them. What's the aspiration? What's the intention behind my thinking? So if the thinking is critical, those people coming late, don't they realize there's a room full of silent people? They are being thoughtless. Now, that's a kind of, I would think some people would have those kinds of thoughts. Is the intention, the values behind that way of thinking, the kind of values you really want to be behind? You really want to be what you're at the center of your life. If you want compassion or love or friendship or generosity or gratitude to be at the center, or if you want attention to be at the center, paying attention, then you would not give a lot of attention, a lot of energy to those kinds of thoughts, because they represent an intention which is not the one you want. To be sitting up here critical and judgmental is not the intention that's supporting compassion or gratitude. So what if you turn it around, or if you relax and look at the depth of your life, depth of your heart, say, I really want to come live a life where I feel much more compassionate, much more grateful for things. What would I have to do to turn my thinking around here in a realistic way, a way that has integrity, so that I can hear someone coming in late and not be upset? So perhaps it's a reflection of, it's pretty cool to have people interested in the same thing. It's not many people in this society who are interested in these kinds of values. It's pretty cool that 100 people gather together on a Sunday morning. It's a really small thing that they happen to come late. In the scale of what's important, that's really not so important, given the fact that we're all coming here to share something profound. Or perhaps some of you might be helpful to think compassionately, or feel generous. It's a generous thing to open your space that you're sitting in so that someone who comes in late could feel welcomed, as opposed to kind of feel the vibes of, how could you? Is the intention to be generous one that's meaningful for you? Or is the intention to be grumpy more important? It's your choice. If you think grumpiness is the inherent operating system of your heart, And you have to just kind of go along with it because it's not your choice. You didn't choose to be grumpy. Then you will, what happens is you reinforce that intention to be judgmental, to be angry, to be critical, to be whatever. And so the question is, which intention do you want to feed in your life? Which intention do you want to help become a stronger part of your life? And one of the reasons why we focus on intention in Buddhism is not only because we want to act from our deepest intentions, our wisest values, our deepest values, in the moment, but we also want to create conditions where we're more likely to act on those in the future. And so it's kind of like developing a habit. If you emphasize certain intentions today, you're more likely to remember those intentions tomorrow. If you somehow give attention to certain values, those values tend to become stronger, or you tend to be reminded of them more often. Yesterday, partly I was inspired to give this talk because yesterday at my son's school, they had a special ceremony, and I was asked at the end of the ceremony to do the blessing. And I think that I'm kind of like, you know, in my wider world, kind of the designated minister because of what I do here. Oh, Gil, he can do the blessing. So, blessing. So, what's this blessing thing? It's not really a Gil language. How often do I use the word blessing? Some of you have been hearing me for a long time, probably don't hear me use the word blessing very often. So I had to think a little bit. Can you still hear out there? Enough? So I had to think, what does this mean to offer a blessing? And my understanding of blessing is that it has to do with intention. What intention and values do we want to be reminded of? And what intentions and values do we want to be reminded that we want to live by those intentions? So if I say, may our intention be one to live with truth, then tomorrow you might come into a situation where a police officer pulls you over for speeding and asks you, do you know how fast you were driving? And you could say, no, officer, if you don't know. Or you could say, well, it was kind of like maybe I was doing, 70 at 65. If you thought that was the case, but perhaps you knew you were going 85. What do you say? And you hear that, you heard that blessing. May we come from truth. May we be honest. And you're reminded of that. You're more likely either consciously reminded or subliminally your mind remembers truth. This is important. And you say, well, officer, I know what speed I was going. I'd rather not tell you. That would be honest. And a blessing would be, may we be compassionate. And then you might remember that at a time where it becomes really significant. And maybe you wouldn't have remembered unless you got the blessing. I remember once many years ago, someone came back from Mexico and came with this, like a Day of the Dead or something, and I think it was related to that, but she got this beautiful silver heart that she gave me. A very small one. And it was kind of like a blessing for me. And I put it in my pocket and didn't think about it. And I had to go do some bureaucratic thing in downtown San Francisco. And I had trouble finding parking and late for my thing. And, you know, I was kind of didn't like the bureaucracy anyway. And so I was grumpy or irritated or something. And I put my hand in my pocket and I felt that little amulet. And I thought, oh, my friend who had this well-wishing for me. And her intentions for me, I was reminded of them, and my grumpiness went away. Her blessing came through. Her blessing was in the form of her wishing well for me and thinking, oh, there's someone in the world who wants me well, made a difference for me. So one of the things I'm trying to say here is that our intentions that we act on, that we bless, that we speak and say, this is important for me, in the acting on them, in the reminding ourselves of them, in the intending them, in speaking them, in committing ourselves to them, they operate both consciously and they operate unconsciously, or knowingly or unknowingly. And the unknowing way is very significant, where they come underground in our hearts and pop out in significant times. If you don't set the ground, set the soil, if you don't plant the seeds, they're not going to sprout later on. So to look for opportunities in our life to reflect on what are the intentions that we really want to operate on. What do we really want to accomplish? So an example I like to give sometimes is going shopping at the supermarket for food. So the desire, someone asks you, what do you want to do right now? I want to go shopping. Then you can ask yourself, for what purpose do you have that desire? You can say, oh, I'm shopping because, and then you can fill it in. And how you fill it in is actually very significant for what seeds you plant in your heart, for what seeds you water in your heart. If your answer is, well, I'm going shopping to get food because my spouse was angry at me that I don't do enough work at home, and she told me, you got to go shopping because I'm fed up. And I'm shopping because I don't want to get another mouthful when I get home. That's one intention. That's one possibility. What does that feed? That doesn't feed something beautiful. If the intention to go shopping is to create a loving meal for your family, that fuels something very different. If the intention, the primary thing that's operating when you go shopping is to get it over with, do it as quickly as I can, that feeds a certain thing. If the intention to go shopping is to go into the store and try to have a friendly contact with someone in the store, make a difference in the life of someone in the store so their life is a little bit easier and lighter, as opposed to being in competition with all the other people in line. You know, scan up and down the aisles, where's the shortest line, and can I kind of figure out which clerk is going fastest? And then you go in a line, and it's the wrong line, and and then you stand there kind of looking at what they buy. How could they buy those things? And then you look at the clerk, and the clerk is talking to the customer, and don't they realize that you're a customer, you're important, and, those kinds of thoughts and reactions are feeding certain intentions. To go into the store with the intention to make a difference, a better difference in someone's life, then as you're standing in line, maybe you remember that intention. And perhaps you would be motivated to stand there with a different attitude towards the people in front of you in line. Oh, isn't that nice? There's a human friendly contact between a clerk, a checkout clerk, and a customer. Isn't that special in our society? It's so easy in our society to have kind of be impersonal. There's kind of a personal kind of exchange there. We should have more of that in our society. maybe when I get up there to the clerk, I'll thank the clerk for having that personal kind of touch to the person in front of me. You know, it was nice to watch, as opposed to, you know, come on, hurry up. So what I'm trying to say here is that we can take something as simple as going to the market, and we can infuse it with deeper intentions than some of the ones that would not be present if we just kind of did it because it's to fulfill our to-do list. And you could infuse it with profound intentions by reflecting on it, by wishing it to be so. And it's consequential to do that. We start creating a different inner environment in our hearts and our minds that reinforce values, reinforce particular intentions of how we want to live our life, that strengthen those in our hearts, but also make it more likely that those operate in the future. Now, the strengthening of intention has a lot to do with the strength of acting on those intentions. It's possible to have intentions that are just wishful thinking. And it's possible to have intentions that we act on. Now, one of the very interesting things about intentions, you can act on an intention and not fulfill the intention, fail in the intention. But because you acted on the intention, that tendency, that those values behind those intentions become stronger. And so it's not really a failure. So if my intention is to go shopping to make a loving meal for my family, so they feel kind of the care and the love, I might have burned the pasta. And, you know, they have to, you know, I'll try labeling it barbecued pasta. See if I can get away with that. But, you know, it didn't really work, my intention. So in that moment that my family didn't feel it, perhaps, but in my heart, I acted on and reinforced that desire. And that gets reinforced in a way that's beneficial into the future. So one of the things we do in Buddhist spirituality, Buddhist practice, is be the caretaker of our future heart and mind. Not only this one right here and now. What heart and mind do I want to create for the future? And so what we do now has to do with what we become. And if our and what's beautiful about this is for the deeper intentions, the depth aspect of our life, for example, the depth aspect of, you know, places of compassion, of gratitude, of mindfulness, attention, of peace, that the intention for gratitude, compassion, peace, mindfulness is strengthened by acting on those intentions. As we act on them and give energy and strength to acting on them, they make it more regular part of our life for the future. They create a better heart, better mind tomorrow or next year. So are there opportunities for us, for you, to act from intentions of compassion, gratitude, kindness, peace, attention? I think of attention as being part of the depth aspect of our life. Do you have those opportunities? Do you have those opportunities, you know, maybe once or twice a day? Or do you have those opportunities every moment? And I would like to say to you that those opportunities exist every moment that you're alive, in whatever circumstances you find yourself in. And if you don't choose, the danger is that something else will choose for you what intention you're operating on. There's a lot of people in our society who get paid a lot of money to try to influence your intention. because human intentionality is very influenceable by other things, by advertisements, politicians, by many things. So if you don't take some responsibility for your intentions, there are other people who will for you. And if it's not the external influence that's happening, is it the internal forces? Which internal forces do you want to reinforce? If it's some of the surface aspect of our mind, pleasure, status, avoidance of discomfort, security, if ill will, fear, if we go along with those, that's what gets reinforced. That part of your mind will choose what gets developed and strengthened. You're always developing and strengthening something. As we develop more mindfulness, more attention, it gives us more opportunities, and hopefully in a very easy way, to begin deciding what intention should be operating here. If you have a desire, you can always ask yourself, what intention should support this desire? And for those of you who have desires frequently, you will have frequent opportunities to reevaluate, to see what you want to support. So, we have a few minutes here. Would someone like to ask a question or make a comment in a strong voice? Yes.
What you're saying, it kind of goes against the old saying that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I assume that the use of intention in that sense might be kind of a wish, not as intense as a real intention.
Yeah, so the question is, what about the expression, the road to hell is paved by good intentions? There's a few things about that. One is that our intentions should be supported by clear seeing. It isn't just a matter of having an intention, it's also a matter of understanding the context the intention is operating in. And so to understand, is this really appropriate for the situation? So the road to hell is often, you know, we create a lot of hell for other people if we impose our intention, as good as they are, in situations not appropriate. So it takes wisdom to know how to act. And the intention to be wise involves the intention to study a situation, to listen carefully to what people are saying and doing and what's going on. The other is that our good intentions don't guarantee a good outcome in the world around us. Intentions, you know, we can have all the best intentions in the world, and reality interferes. Your intention today might be to go and help a neighbor who's in distress. But as you leave here, your car doesn't work. Your intention was to help, but reality is interfering that possibility. There's no guarantee that your good intentions are going to be matched with the world responding in beneficial ways. There's no guarantee. However, in Buddhist spirituality, we're trying to create a good world. But more importantly, we're trying to create a good heart that can meet the world wisely and freely, compassionately, regardless of how the world is out there. And so if we act on our good intentions and support our good intentions, we don't know what kind of world out there is going to result. But hopefully we're creating a kind of inner life where when unfortunate things happen in the world, we're able to meet it with kindness rather than hate. with generosity rather than fear, with mindfulness rather than shutting down, with letting go rather than getting constricted and tight. And the ultimate protection for us is not the world out there and how it's set up, but the ultimate protection for us is what happens in our hearts, our capacity of our hearts to stay free, no matter where we are. And so our best intentions to be free is what supports this inner heart. And hopefully we develop a heart that's capable of being in the world in all the different ways the world can be. And there's no guarantee that this world of ours is going to be an easy place for us to live in. And those of us who live here in the peninsula should always be reminded of this when you remember how close we're living to the San Andreas Fault. Are we ready? Are our hearts ready to be able to meet something like that, you know, with the best that we have, with inner strength and capacity to meet with the best values, the best intentions we have? Or in a crisis like that, are we going to revert to some of the worst intentions that are in there? We're preparing ourselves for a future. So maybe one more, if you think it's a short answer. What was the blessing I gave at my son's school? I wrote it down, so I read it, so I don't remember, but it was may the goodness of your heart protect you. May you receive the blessings of a pure heart. May the goodness of your heart protect you. May you receive the blessings of a truthful heart. May the goodness of your heart protect you. May you receive the blessings of a loving community or a compassionate community. And as you go off to offer your compassion and care to this wider world, may you receive the blessing of the compassion and love of your community to support you in doing that. Something like that. So we now have a potluck. I hope you all stay, especially if you didn't bring anything. Please feel welcome to come. And someone will offer a blessing. And if you're the kind of person who, like I used to be, who kind of tuned out of that kind of religious stuff, perhaps you're the one who should do the blessing. Or if not, listen more carefully than usual. So thank you all for being here. I very much appreciate it. I'm very grateful for all of you. And may you all, may the best in your hearts come forward. Thank you.